White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. We have just celebrated Iole's third birthday in camp. She was given four parties, or what we call parties anyway. At one, we had a wonderful fried rice, which we called nasi goreng, but the Dutch sneered at it because it wasn't hot enough for a real nasi goreng. For once, we went to bed with full tummies, and what a difference it makes. We all slept well, instead of rolling round in empty agony. It's queer. We go to bed hungry every night, and the thought of food at home refuses to leave our minds.
You asleep, Jeff?
Hmm? No, Iole. I feel as if I've got a great hole rolling round where my stomach should be.
Yes, I know. Me too. I used to be able to go to sleep and forget being hungry, but I can't now. All I can think of is food. If I were home for dinner tonight, I'd have Irish stew and French beans and sweets.
Very cosmopolitan, aren't you?
And for a sweet. Now, what would I have for a sweet?
Oh, I know what I'd have. Fruit salad and lashings of cream. All smothered with icing sugar.
Are you two talking about food again? Oh, I can't help it, Jess. That's all I can think of. Well, I know. I keep remembering the wonderful food I had in France when I was there. You know, there's a way they do baby chicken in a pot with mushrooms and tiny onions. White wine and garlic, herbs. I can smell it. It's called Victory Chicken or Chicken Marengo.
Why Victory Chicken?
Oh, it's got rather a nice story to it.
Oh? Oh, tell us, Jess.
Well, on the 14th of June, 1800, it was very hot in the plain of northern Italy. A certain skinny little man had been far too busy to notice it. Yes, he's been very busy. In the morning and early afternoon, he's fought two battles and lost them. And that makes him very annoyed.
Yeah, irritating for anybody.
Well, he tells the men this, and before sunset that day, the third battle has been fought and won. Mm-hmm. Well, he can rest, but where is the baggage train? Since he has covered over 30 miles since morning, hopping all over the place, the men of the baggage train are no doubt asking, where is the general?
He's a general, this little skinny coat?
Oh, my dear, not a general, the general. Well, to continue, a couple of privates take off to try and procure something for their general to eat. Well, at first this seems a task beyond even such experienced rustlers as these two. But, however, by means best known to themselves, they assemble presently with a chicken, a handful of onions, some white wine, and a little oil.
Oh, from a ruined and deserted garden, they take herbs and garlic. As they tend the fire and start to cook the dish, another soldier passes, and seeing what they're about, he delves deep in his pocket for a few mushrooms that he's been saving to celebrate the victory with.
Well, now, the cooking completed, one of the soldiers turned cooks presents the dish to his general, saying, "My general,
is served.
Mm.
Napoleon looks at the fool, yes, well, Napoleon, and then at his soiled, tired men and smiles. That wonderful smile that he reserves for the little people. Mm-hmm. And then he says, "It has been a glorious day, my children. I am well pleased with you."
Oh. Well, is that the end?
Mm. Oh, the two soldiers salute each other with a grin, and that is how Chicken Rango came to be.
Well, now, why didn't you tell us that when we had the Palembang chooks that the Dutchman gave us, Jess?
Oh, well, I thought the chook cooked with oil and wine and mushrooms might appeal to all of you.
Oh, did you?
My mouth is watering like mad. Mushrooms.
You did say mushrooms, didn't you?
And I suppose there'd be a certain amount of gravy?
More sauce than gravy, actually, I know.
Oh, I'm positively drooling. Hey, would they serve that at the Savoy in London, Jess?
Mm-hmm, could be. Why, Jeff?
Because I shall make a note of it, and when Liv and I get there, we'll order it.
Well,
I don't know about you, but I've got to get up and get a drink of water to fill the old tum up a bit.
Yes, I will too. Made myself drool as well. I'll never get to sleep with those empty rumblings going on.
So we get out and fill ourselves up with water before we can go to sleep. In the morning we don't seem to be so desperately hungry, though it is 15 hours since our last bowl of rice. Since the day of the four parties for Ioli's birthday, things have changed. For instance, the wood is becoming harder to cope with again.
Will you look at what they've brought in for firewood, Ioli? Mm-hmm. It's only been felled today and it's still running rubber latex.
Well, that's a fine lot of wood, isn't it? Smothered in green leaves.
Mm.
Get some fine fires out of that, I don't think.
What with frightful wood, still the one old blunt axe, and trying to cut it ourselves, it's a wonder we have any sort of fire at all, Jeff.
Oh, well, I suppose we'd better see what we can do with it.
Oh, for gracious sake, be careful of the axe, you two. Oh,
don't worry, we will. Talking to Mrs. Brookhouse. She gave me some scraps from the kitchen for the garden. Hey, Mitch, what's going on? What's all that hammering about?
That is the latest innovation. Come and grab your things. I'll tell you as you move.
Move? Oh, you mean really move? Out of here?
No, only to one side of the hut. Here.
Oh, tell me what's happened.
Well, as you can see, our dormitory is being divided exactly into half. Lengthways, they're boarding it up. See?
Yeah. But why?
26 of us will live in this side, and 8 young Indonesians will live on the other.
Oh, great Scott. Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
What are they doing here?
Training to be guards or Jap soldiers or something. I don't know.
But how can 26 of us squash into here? Where will we sleep?
Well, we've worked it out. Each girl's bed space is marked on the wooden ledge. We have 20.5 inches by 5'6", and not a hair's breadth more. You just can't go over your line.
Oh, that will be lovely. We jammed together like...
I know, like sardines in a tin.
And just as sticky. Oh, blast the chips.
Jeff, I'll swear you've pinched an extra inch of room.
No, I haven't, Ioli. I'm dead on my lines.
Well, what happens if one of us wants to lie on his side or turn over? Then we all have to turn over. Don't you dare, Ioli. 20.5 inches by 5'6" and no air.
Oh, this is terrific. Oh, it's impossible to sleep in all this heat. Oh, so sticky. Oh, girls, I'm going outside. I can't stand this.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, Ioli. I'm sorry. Hang on, Vivian. Mind, I didn't dislodge you both as I get up.
Oh, where are you going, Jess?
Out to bed, down on the dinner bench. As crude as they are, they'd be better than this.
But, Jeff, what if it rains? You're out in the open there.
Oh, well, the roof of the hut slopes down a bit. It'll shelter me.
Well, let's know what it's like, Jess. If it's any good, I might join you.
Quite a few of the girls go out and sleep on the benches if it's not raining too hard, and 4 braves sleep in the children's shelter shed. They move round all night, dodging the rain from the leaking attic roof. Believe me, we'll all be able to settle down very comfortably in any of those tram shelters along St. Kilda Road when we get home.
Well, the latest gossip is that the Japanese military is going to look after us from now on.
Look after us is good.
When are they supposed to take over, Ione, or doesn't gossip say?
Oh, yes, gossip knows everything. It'll take over on their famous date, the 1st of April.
Well, something's happened every year on that date, so it could be true.
And what else, Ione? I can see you're bursting with more news. After all, I am bursting with Jeff. Oh, gosh, I'm starving.
Well, here, have a drink of water. I brought some in. Oh, thanks, miss.
Oh. How delicious. Enchanting flavor. What is it?
Probably a fermented rice. Do go on with your news.
Well, my dears, they have made many promises.
Which they have no intention of keeping. Go on.
At first, they promise extra bed space.
I'll believe that when I see it. Yes?
They promise us more food.
Well, they can't very well give us any less.
True. Suppose we'll get another third of a bad duck egg per head per month.
And?
They promise us plenty more work. Plenty more work, especially.
That I can believe.
We've been told by our lords and masters that we are women.
No!
And as such should do more work, because after the war we shall have to work hard for the men who will come back so tired.
They don't think they're going to win this war, do they?
Hells bells, we can't work any harder than we do now, war or no war. Oh, I get so flaming mad. What do they think we are?
Being nicely brought up, I can't answer that question.
Cool down, Jeff. It's only a rumor, old thing. Wait and see if it happens before you get so het up.
Well, did you ever work harder? We're working like coolies now.
As you once said, white coolies.
It's impossible for us to work any harder. Each chore is becoming heavier for us to do. Lighting a fire, for instance, we struggle with the wet, sappy wood, all smoke and no flame or heat. We honestly sit from 7 a.m. till 12 noon, blowing our lungs out, and then all we've cooked is about a cupful of food. No wonder we all have slim figures. Rice diet and sleeping on tiles and wooden benches for 2 years is the most effective slimming process I know. When we get home, none of us ever intends to be hungry again. We now see eye to eye with Scarlett O'Hara. Still persisted that we were to be taken over by Jap military. But nothing happened, so we settled down again. If they are to take us over, they will probably do it all in 5 minutes, or make great speeches and have us ready and waiting days before anything takes place. Anyway, the 1st of April is the time set for the great change, and that's weeks to come. The other day, I found Shorty in the hut in a great state.
Come on now. You've got to try and get it down. Oh, don't turn your head away.
Shorty, what are you doing groveling about under the shelf?
That's it. Now, have another little bit. Oh, hello, Jeff.
Hello.
I'm trying to get Toby to eat. He hasn't eaten anything for 2 days.
But he usually eats anything and everything in sight. What's the matter with him?
Oh, I don't know. Here, Toby. Now, come on, try and eat it.
What are you giving him?
A bit of rice. But he likes rice. Oh, he did until now. Oh, he seems too tired to move.
Oh, don't worry him too much. He might have eaten something a bit on the turn and it's upset him.
He's used to that. We all are, for that matter. Oh, I'll leave that bit there. He might eat it in a minute.
Poor little pup. He's got a dear little face.
You know, I reckon he's not such a pup. I think he might be quite old. We thought he'd lost his teeth from not having proper food and bones and things, but it might be old age.
Yes, I've never thought of that. His little face always looks like a puppy's.
I don't like to leave him. I've got to go on duty in the hospital in a minute.
Don't worry, Shorty. I'll keep an eye on him.
Oh, Shorty, you're wanted over at the hospital.
Oh, just going, Ioli. No, if it gets any worse, please tell me, Jeff.
All right, I will.
What's the matter?
Toby's out of sorts. Shorty's worried about him.
Oh. She's wonderful how she's fed that pup. He always gets a bit of whatever she has. Oh, poor little fellow. He doesn't look so good, does he? Mm.
We'd better leave him alone. They like to be by themselves when they're sick. I'll pop back and see he's okay every now and then.
Oh, Lordy, I'm tired.
Anything new in hospital?
Not new. The same things that a few drugs would prevent or keep in check. A couple of malarias, quite a few dysentery, and a lot of malingering. The latest thing with some of them is to develop bad hearts. Well, I suppose you can't blame them for trying to get out of working.
No, but why should we have to wait on them? If they're ill, it's a different thing, but lead swingers.
One of the English lasses is pretty sick.
Hey, you better lie down. You don't look so hot yourself.
Well, I'm all right. I'm just tired.
I'll lie down and have a snooze. It's reasonably quiet in here at the moment.
All right, I will. What's today, Jeff?
Saturday. Why?
Nothing. I just couldn't think what day it was.
Toby lay and twitched. Ioli made little cries in her sleep. The flies buzzed, and the children were playing some rowdy game in the distance. And I sat and thought of Saturday afternoon at home. The lazy whir of lawn mowers, the sleepy smell of cut grass, and from somewhere in the distance, a wireless broadcasting the races. The sun glinting on the little blue vase that stood by the window in the hall. My mother's voice calling me.
Jeff! Jeff!
Yes, Mother, coming.
Jeff! Are you in there?
Yes, I'm here.
What?
Oh, it's you, Blanche. I thought for a moment...
Oh, there you are. I've been looking all over for you.
Ioli's having a sleep. Come up here.
What are you doing, guarding?
No, I was keeping an eye on Toby for Shorty. He's sick.
Oh.
I must have dozed off to sleep myself.
I came to tell you that Kong said that there would likely to be...
Kong?
Wake up, Jeff. The Chinese lass.
Oh, of course. Oh, you're right, Blanche. I'm still woozy. I was dreaming. What did Kong say?
She thinks there'll be a search through our things this evening at Tenko. I thought I'd better warn you to hide your diary.
Oh, thanks. What are they looking for now, I wonder?
What do they ever expect to find? It's just bloody-mindedness.
Well, I shouldn't think these policey fellows would be as thorough as the Nip Guards. You know, Kong is amazing. The things she hears are usually right.
She's amazing, all right. I love the way she treats the Japs with complete contempt, and she gets away with it, what's more.
I think they're scared of the Chinese. Mm-hmm. They must be, or they'd towel her up. The way she strolls up to Tinko when she feels like it's just priceless.
Well, I'll get on with my chores. I just thought I'd warn you.
Oh, thanks, Blanche.
Oh, here comes the storm. I think I'll cover Toby up with my old shorts. He hates storms.
And I can't say I blame him. I don't like them myself.
I don't mind them usually, but this one has a feeling of doom.
Oh, there's the girl. Cheer me up.
I suppose it's because it's so hot. The air feels as if it's weighing down on you.
Poor little Toby. He's too hot to move.
You didn't cover him over, did you, Shorty?
Oh, no, Ioli. I sort of put the shorts around his head so he wouldn't see the lightning.
I wish it would rain. It might cool off a bit. I hate dry storms.
Don't worry. It'll pour cats and dogs before long.
Where's Jeff, Blanche?
She's on duty. She should be in a minute. Oh, listen to that.
Why don't you lie down on your good ear, Blanche? Then you won't hear it.
I feel too uneasy to lie down. I think I'll go outside for a while. Oh, hello, Jeff. Finished for the night?
No. We're all just starting for the night.
Huh? What do you mean? Starting what?
You know the English lass that you said was pretty sick yesterday, Ioli?
Yes.
Well, she died this evening.
Oh.
She was a grand kid.
I'm sorry.
She died, and the Japs won't bring in a coffin. They won't do anything to help.
What do you mean?
Just that. They say it's Sunday and they won't disturb themselves or tell the police to do anything about it.
But you can't stay in the hospital till tomorrow. We're just about on the equator.
What are we going to do, Jeff?
Well, they're making some kind of stretcher at the hospital, and we'll have to carry her to the shelter shed in the middle of the camp. We're not allowed outside, even in a case like this.
Oh, but we can't just leave her there.
Of course not. Some of the British will help, and we'll watch in twos all through the night.
I said there was a feeling of doom hanging over the place tonight.
Who'll take the first watch, Jeff?
Well, I thought we would, Ioli.
We'd better get over there. I can see a light going there now.
We started our death watch, Ioli and I, as the thunder and lightning raged overhead. After a little while, the storm passed without rain, and it grew hotter. The dark was thick and stifling. The one little lamp cast deeper shadows and a flickering light. We heard the half hours strike from the clock in the guardhouse. They sounded like a bell's toll. Each minute seemed like a silent and dreadful hour. Each hour unending. The things that can't be said in plain words about that night, Margaret Dryburgh wrote about.
Tis night, and in the camp's wide square, unwonted silence fills the air. For now the central open shed acts as a shelter for the dead. How slowly time doth pass. A tiny lamp with steady glow lights up the darkness and doth show where watchers solemn vigil keep beside the dead while others sleep. How slowly time doth pass,
Jeff.
Yes.
There's someone coming.
Why do you use this public place? Within the walls is there no space. The living scarce have room to lie. There is no spot for those who die. How slowly time doth pass.
It's shorty and steady. They're coming to take over.
But watchers, in this tropic clime, death brings decay in little time. Why therefore do you think it meet to use naught but a winding sheet? How slowly time doth pass.
We'll take our watch now, Jeff.
It's Sunday, and authority is deaf to importunity. A coffin wanted, did you say? Do not disturb our holiday. How slowly time doth pass.
Anything to report?
No, but keep moving around.
Tis but a prisoner of war, a woman too, why worry more? To drive away the rats that creep and hungry dogs we vigil keep. How slowly time doth pass.
Ah, oh, steady, how slowly the time passes.
All through that night and the next day we watched until a reasonable Japanese was found who would help us and we could bury the dead. They are not human, these Japanese. They are just beasts.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.